Let's take a second to tell you about one of our partners, Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish basketball shooting machines are the most high-tech and durable basketball shooting machines on the market. Each shooting machine was designed specifically for high-repetition training to allow players to improve through technology. Dr. Dish offers game-like training to give hundreds of shooting reps in just minutes and provide powerful analytics to help players improve their game. Dr. Dish has also introduced Skill Builder, which is the first of its kind in the basketball shooting machine industry that enables players and coaches to stay connected, design and upload training exercises, and instantly receive feedback on their workout, allowing for real-time adjustments and improved performance. It is, without question, the most innovative basketball training machine on the market. To learn more about Dr. Dish, log on to drdishbasketball.com or follow them on Twitter at Dr. Dish B-Ball. Don't forget to mention Coaching You and receive $300 off on your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's right, mention Coaching You or the podcast and get $300 off your Dr. Dish. Fast Model Sports is the world's most versatile basketball coaching software to help power your preparation. Fast Model has developed the industry's best coaching software, including the number one play diagramming and playbook software, FastDraw. FastDraw bridges the gap between whiteboarding and the digital world with an incredibly easy-to-use interface that can be used on both your computer and your iPad, providing maximum portability for your own personal play and drill database. It doesn't stop there. Along with FastDraw, they have other great programs such as FastScout, which I have used, which helps coaches create clean professional scouting reports customized for your team. Fast Model is trusted and used by every NBA team and WNBA team and 85% of Division I college teams and over 8,000 high school and youth teams from over 75 countries around the world. In addition to a great product, they also provide basketball coaching resources through their blog and playbank, which features over 5,000 free plays and drills for their online coaching community. For access to these plays and more information, visit fastmodelsports.com or follow them on Twitter at fastmodel. Hey, this is the coach, Brendan Sir. Want to let you in on something that happened over the Final Four weekend. Fast Model and Coaching You co-sponsored one of the neatest events that I've ever taken part in. It was called the Next Gen Coaches Forum. This was five head coaches in college basketball sharing their philosophy and thoughts in a conversation that I was leading with them on how to become a head coach, and more importantly, how to be a better assistant to prepare yourself to be there. We recorded the sessions. It's a 2.5-hour video that I think you'll just absolutely love. We have priced it at only $39 so that every guy that's in college coaching, whether you're a staff member, you're in any kind of ops or support staff or assistant coach, this is a must-get for your profession. It's like buying a great book because it's not me. This is David Patrick, the head coach of Cal Riverside. This is Mike Boynton, the head coach of Oklahoma State. This is Donnie Jones, the new head coach of Stetson University. This is Bob Ritchie from Furman University, one of the youngest coaches in college basketball, and is an absolute superstar. And then, of course, Konzo Martin, the head coach of the University of Missouri. You're going to find from these five men a total selfless investment in you to develop you. This is a must-listen, must-watch opportunity for you to learn and grow. Please take advantage of it. Go to coachingyoulive.com/nextgen. That's NEXTGEN. Please take advantage of this learning opportunity for you to grow and get better. Hey, welcome to another Coaching You podcast with the coach, Brendan Sir. I'm so excited today. Greg Gary, one of my favorite assistant coaches in college basketball,
someone that we got to spend a lot of time with at Coaching U when we would work with the Purdue staff. And Greg, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank you, Brent. I appreciate it. And I want to know how many other people you said one of your favorites.
No. I'm certainly kidding. No, you know what? That's a good point because, you know, I like good people. And I usually try to only have good people on our podcast. So I do say it at least once a week on our podcast. You're right. But, you know, the thing is about you, and you're now the new head coach of the Mercer University Bears in Macon, Georgia. Congratulations on that, my friend.
Thank you. I'm really excited that, you know, as I told them in the press conference, I told our guys that Mercer to me checks off a lot of boxes with, you know, being in the area that you can recruit, being a very good academic school that has a good reputation. They've won here. They're in a good conference. The support is there. The athletic director, the president. So, I mean, you start checking those boxes off. That's why I'm really excited to be here.
You know, I was referencing your time at Purdue, and I obviously I work with a lot of coaches, and I watch a million games, and if I'm anything, I could consider myself as a third party expert on style of play of college teams, and I think your offense that you had the last couple of years at Purdue was as good as anything I've ever seen in college basketball. How did you put that all together? And I know Matt gives you so much freedom to do stuff. How did you evolve to that? Because it's an unusual style of play. It's not, you know, like one of those things where we see other coaches, and I hate to say this, so many guys run all the same stuff.
Okay? Right, exactly.
Yeah. How did you come up with a unique style like that?
Well, first, I mean, Matt Painter, I learned so much from him. I wouldn't be sitting here as a head coach for Mercer if it was not for him, just because I learned so much. He's well respected, you know, and he just gave me the freedom to be able to do offensively and just let me run with it. And there were some basic series or basic stuff that we started with. And then the more he just said, you know what, I'm just going to give it to you. And so my thinking was, obviously, it helps when you have Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein who are shooting bombs out there. It makes right. All your sets look really good. But personnel is real important. But I just felt like I just always wanted to kind of keep getting counters to certain action because my thinking was, okay, how are they going to take this away? Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of coaches, that's not different than what they think. But I think we just – kind of evolved in it, and so many defenses are going to play. We've seen it all, the way they defend our action. So I think it's just being able to have players that can understand it and make quick adjustments is really a big part of it too. But just being able to do it, like in practice, like Coach Painter would give me, you know, a certain amount of time, 15 minutes a day for the most time. Hey, you do what you want. You got it. And so it's just, you have to work on it. You have to. And with the players being able to, they're smart and picking it up. It was a lot of fun because a lot of our terminology within our different series or sets that we run are the same actions. They're just in a different series, if that makes sense.
So, yeah, no, it does.
Yeah. That's kind of how it started. You know, I also, when I worked for Robert McCollum at South Florida, he's a tremendous coach too, and he ran a lot of different series. He would use more of a number system right. within each series, and I like that. I like the fact that, you know, you could be calling 42, you know, but it might be in a different series as opposed to you have another number 42 in a different series. So,
and by series we mean almost a set.
Go ahead.
In a series, we mean almost what other people might call a set.
Right, a set, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's because within a set, I've got a bunch of options. That's you know, awesome. So I learned from him, too, just from that standpoint. That's probably where I got just adding stuff and having different series and just kind of balloon from there. And Sometimes you can overdo it though as a coach, and there were times when I did, and I said, you know what, I got to back off this. This is too much.
Well, I think when and the thing that blew me away, again, I'm privy to be able to come in, gain all access to a program, and what I enjoyed about Matt was he truly is similar conceptually to a football guy in that he's the CEO of the program. He has complete control. Nothing goes by without his permission, et cetera. But he says, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, do the things within the confines of what we're, our philosophy is, et cetera. And that means he has incredible trust in his assistants. Now, at the yes. Power 5 level, you have that ability to go out and get, really great guys. Right. Will you be able to do that where you are now?
Ideally, I'd like to, but I gotta yeah. spend some more time with them. I gotta coach sure. them. You have to be able to adapt to what you have. So, yes. It's just a matter of time and me kind of figuring out, can we do this stuff? Can we get this complicated? Or I guess it is complicated because there's so many different options. But that's just a matter of one. I gotta recruit a little bit to it if that's the way I want to yeah. play. But early on, it's just going to depend on, who our personnel is.
Sure. Listening to you and watching you work, it reminds me a lot of the time I've spent listening to both Coach Nick Saban and to Coach Bill Belichick, and that both of them, having worked together in Cleveland, they share the same philosophy that, and you talked in the beginning, Greg, about counters, which mm-hmm. is really basically teaching players how to read defenses and, how to react, right? And,
correct.
And so what both Nick and Belichick do is they take their guys that are going to come in and work on their offensive staff, and in the first year they're with them, unless they're a coordinator level, he puts them as defensive coaches because he wants mm-hmm. them to understand everything that an NFL defense does. And if you're a defensive guy, he wants you to understand what offenses are trying to do. Because he thinks you have to be an expert at the other side of the ball to be a great guy on
right.
that. And you know what? I heard that
that's
about
yeah. Yeah.
five, that 6 years ago.
Makes a lot of sense.
Makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
And so I know, even though you're quote an offensive guy, you're also an excellent defensive coach because you know how every defense wants to play, and you've built your offense to counter great defense. And so I just find it fascinating to do that. Talk to me.
I would always ask Coach Painter, I'd say, how would you stop this? Because he's a really defensively, he's really, really good
right.
at taking away actions. If he knows what action is coming, he's really good at, okay, we're going to take it away this way. So I would always ask him, how would you stop this? Just to be able to try to, see if we can't get a counter. So it's real funny. It's in the, what game was it? Might've been, it was a Virginia game. Carson Edwards was absolutely on fire. So I'm scrapping a lot of our plays just because I wanted to give him the ball in space up top, so I'm like, shoot, this is easy. We're just going to go a little single ball screen up top, give him mm-hmm. some space and, let him play. So he was going, and I felt like he was getting a little tired. Plus, I just was like, let's see if we can get Klein one here, because they were so concerned about Carson. And we run a play for Klein. We end up not scoring, and it wasn't real, real smooth. And Matt, which he would very rarely would he say anything to me, as far as run this, run that. It was every three or four games he might say something, but he turns around and goes, if you don't get the ball in Carson Edwards' hand, he goes, I am calling Mercer and telling them not to hire you.
That is the best. No.
This was in the middle of the game.
Middle of the game.
I was like, I got you. I got you, coach. I got you. My bad.
Hey, when you have greatness out there, and, he's absolutely one of our favorite players. It's funny. When I met him a year ago, and he was not yet, he was in October of his sophomore season, going to be a sophomore season. And he was not, bought in totally. Is that fair to say?
Right. Yeah, it was hard for him. He's just been a guy that the ball's been in his hands, and he's had to just go do it, and that's just who he is, and that's what he's always known.
And so after I'd met with you guys the second day, Matt turned to me and said, "Try to talk to him," so I pulled him into the office. I said, "Hey, listen, do you want to be a pro?" And he says, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Great kid. And I said, "I'm going to give you a tip how to get there." "Yes, sir." I said, "Listen to your coaches because they are trying to help you, and you have the talent to be a pro, but are you coachable?" And I'm telling you, he became one of my favorite guys to play in college ball because of the way he performs. And
he performs at a high level, and he was always good to me because he knew I was running the play. You know what I mean? So we had a good
great rapport, right? The guys that never got a shot, they're like pissed off at you, you know. So I think he's going to be a great pro. I really do.
I don't care about the size or any of that crap. Space in the pro game, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know,
I'm like I'm not expert on that, but from watching it, I think there's more space.
I think, you know, the things you did for him, I think have prepared him. A lot of guys aren't prepared when they go into the pros, but he's prepared. He knows how to operate in space, and when he gets it going, he's a perfect guy to come in and could have a Kemba Walker type effect, you know, on the game, I think, you know. He's dynamic, and he's got great personality, and he's a great kid, you know. So all those things. Yep. And he competes, which is probably one of the best things of all time. Talk to me about Matt Painter. I thought you had a great comment off air about, you know, who you thought he was for coaching, and I think it's spot on.
Yeah, he's like, you listen to him, he's like the John Maxwell of college basketball. I mean, he's just, everything he says, it's simple, but you think to yourself, why didn't I think it? Like, why didn't I say that? Or what, that makes a heck of a lot of sense. He's extremely intelligent. He has no ego. And he's just got a good rapport with the guys, with the players. He can make fun of himself. Mm-hmm. He's just not uptight all the time either. You can do your job, you can do it at a high level, you can work hard, but you also have to be able to have some fun with it. He's tremendous when it comes to that. He's also really good at being able to get guys to play their role without them feeling like he's taking away their game. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, very much.
Yeah. So. It's hard to do. It's hard to do because everybody that comes in, they think, you know, like Eric Hunter, for instance, our freshman guard, he scored a lot of points in high school, over 2000, maybe 2,500, somewhere around there. I mean, a prolific scorer in high school, when he comes to us at Purdue and he struggles and it's hard for him to score. But coach never like got down on him. He kept telling him, keep shooting. Like it was just, even when he was shooting in the teens, hey, Eric, keep shooting rhythm shots, keep doing this. So he's just really good in giving guys confidence and not taking it away from them.
You know, when we walked in last year to Purdue, within seconds, he said, "We're going to be really good. You know, we'll win, you know, 20 plus games and we'll be in the NCAA tournament again." I never hear anyone ever say that in October. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'd be scared to say it if I was still coaching the Pistons and I had Isaiah and those guys. I'd be scared to say, "Hey, we're really a good team." Because, you know, Chuck used to have a great saying, Chuck Daly, never trust happiness, you know? And so, you know, but Matt was. He didn't say it with any ounce of arrogance. He just said it matter-of-factly. And I said, wow. It really set me back. But you know what? That's who he is, right?
It is. And it's funny you say that because we'll be watching film and he'll get to talking. And this is early in the season. And you know how coaches are. Just like you said, you hate to say, you know, sometimes get ahead of yourself. But And I've heard guys, they don't want to talk about the NCAA tournament. Like that's on down the line right off the bat. I mean, it's, hey, this is, we're playing for Big Ten championships and we're playing for the NCAA tournament, getting that Final Four. Like, you know, it was out there. I mean, and guys that wasn't putting pressure on them it was, that's just what we do. And I think it's more of a confidence and just a, it's just kind of, hey, this is what we do, and we're not gonna hide behind it or act like we're not thinking about it. We are thinking about it, and that's what we're working for. So I think a lot of coaches just, I don't know if they don't want to put themselves out there or what it is, but he has no problem doing
Isn't
that.
that interesting?
Yeah.
When at the Final Four, we coaching you in Fast Model, we had a really neat thing for assistant coaches. We called it Next Gen Coaches, the next generation of coaches,
Yeah.
and we really focused on trying to help educate assistant coaches on what's really important to make it. And I had five guys that are were assistants, obviously, at one
Right.
point. And now became head coaches. And we did a kind of like a podcast type of thing, but it was me and them up on a stage and just having a conversation like you and I are having now. And the wisdom that came from them to try to help these other coaches was one of my proudest moments in coaching, because those unselfishness and selflessness of these guys, just like you always do, to help people was off the charts. And if you, what would you say are some of the biggest things that assistant coaches, or at least on your path as an assistant, need to focus on to prepare them to be a head coach?
Yeah, I think, and I worked for a guy, Perry Clark, who
Oh, no,
was
Perry, really well.
tremendous motivator. I mean, he was really, really good, and there were times, and you know how head coaches get pulled in so many directions, he couldn't get to all the speaking engagements, and it might be a small group or whatever. And as soon as, I mean, I knew right away. Like I wasn't in this to be an assistant coach my whole life, so I wanted to be a head coach. So my thought was, okay, I went to coach, I said, coach, if you can't go to any of these, if you don't, I'll do it myself. I go, because I want to just get used to getting in front of people, talking. I think that is very important. You just got to get out of your comfort zone, you know. And I was more of a quiet person, but I knew I can't stay that way. I have to be able to get out in front of people. So I would volunteer to say, hey coach, let me know, I'll go, you know, in your place if you can't go. I think that's important, just getting out of your comfort zone. I think also, like, I'm hiring guys here that want to be head coaches. I think that's extremely important, because when you become an assistant, like, I thought, okay, I'm not the head coach, but I have to prepare and do things like I am. How would I want them done? I think that's important as an assistant to do that. And then it comes down to, and I learned this for the first couple of years with Coach Painter. I had an idea of, okay, I thought this player was good, this player was good, this would be a good one here. Well, you have to recruit to what your head coach wants. And what
Cool.
he feels comfortable with. And it took me a couple of years to figure out, you know what? I'm going to stay away from this guy because I know Coach Painter's not going to like him. And so I don't want to waste his time or waste my time. So you've got to be able to establish that right away, in my opinion, to, okay, how does my head coach, what kind of guys does he want, and what kind will be successful in this program? So
Curious.
I think those two
Yeah,
things are
curious,
extremely
curious.
important.
Now, as running a new program, how are you going to do that with the guys you hire? I mean, so you have to sit them down and say, okay, here's what I like, right? Initially, after a year with you, they'll figure it out, obviously, real quick. But is that what we're going to have to do in the beginning?
Yeah. I will sit down, and no question about it. Sit down and say, you know, because it's already. They're not officially on staff yet, but I've had conversations with them, and they're eager, and they're sending me stuff. Hey, this kid, we got to offer him, and we got to do this. And then I'm saying, hang on, I have not seen his transcript. I have not talked to him. Have you talked to any? And you know, the response is, well, I talked to the coach. I talked to his AAU coach. I go, yeah, let's talk to someone who doesn't coach him, who has maybe coached against him,
Yes.
or, you know, so those type of things. And I learned that from Coach Painter too, just being thorough in making sure you know everything. Because you know, their own coaches are going to say positive things.
Great point.
You know, so what I've got to do is get them to understand I'm not being nitpicky here. Maybe I am, but this is how you might have worked for guys where you could do that, but for me, I need to know a little bit more detail and dig in a little bit more on who we're going to push to try to sign. So yeah, that's important. Communication's huge. Being able to communicate with your head coach, and I don't want guys that are going to be yes men. I want them to, you know, come with ideas and don't be afraid to express their ideas. Again, I have no ego too, so I will listen to it, and I'll either like it or don't like it. It's real simple. And I would say another thing for assistant coaches, sure, especially starting out, is you can't worry about, like, you're going to get your feelings hurt. It's just going to happen. And you've got to have tough enough skin to let that go to then move on to the next. It's nothing personal. The head coach you're working for might or might not like a kid, or might like the way you've done something. You have to, if he disagrees with you have to move on and don't worry about the criticism.
It's a great point. You know, when I first started coaching in college, even what we would now call Power Five, there was a head coach and there was two assistants, right? I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
And then I even went to another school that was top 25 program, but it was a Catholic school in the East Coast. They had a coach and one assistant. And we're top 25 in the country, you know.
Wow, yeah.
And then when I go to the NBA, it's UB Brown, Mike Fratello, and I. There's two assistants, right? Now there's more assistants in an NBA in some college than there are players, you know, on the bench with you. And so what I've seen happen in the dynamics of it, let's say an NBA team, but I've seen it in college, is you talked about feelings hurt. Everyone wants to be heard. Everyone wants to be a
correct
voice. And I watched more teams at the end of games, when things are, you're up 20, everyone on the staff has an opinion of, wants to participate. When you're getting your ass kicked down 20, no one has any ideas, right? You know,
exactly.
And then all of a sudden I watched a team that we had worked with this year, and we got in the last few seconds of the game, and we had talked to them about in October, you have to make a decision of whether you're going to foul when you're up three or not, but mm-hmm. don't decide in the last timeout what you're going to do, because your players will not have practiced it and they won't understand what you're doing. And don't you know they changed their philosophy in a freaking timeout, because some assistant kept harping on them. No, 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 we got to foul, or he took the opposite approach, not to foul. And that team got beat on a three. And so, but all of a sudden, there's so many people, and people get their feelings hurt, you know. And I think you have to, as a head coach, be a master. Obviously, you have to be a master communicator, but to establish, I can't say yes to everyone, you know.
Right, exactly. And with Coach Painter, I learned real quick, like during the game.
Yeah.
And I think this is another great point, and you want to be heard as an assistant, and you just said it. But I learned a great thing with Coach Painter is, especially like, let's say we have a shoot around, but before our practices, we would walk through kind of what we're, you know, the other team stuff, what they're
sure.
doing. And I learned real quick, because I remember asking him a question as we're about to walk on the court to go over defensively what we're going to do. This is first few years I was with him.
Yeah.
And he said, why didn't you ask me that when we were meeting upstairs in the office? He goes, I'm not going to go over that right now. You're going to throw it on me right away at the last minute, because he knows, like, his delivery to the team, we got to make sure we're all on the same page when we go over it with the team. So I think that's important, and it makes sense. Like, if you got something you have a question about, or you want to guard it differently, let's talk about it up in the office in the morning before, and let's get it hashed out there so that we can all be on the same page when we go down and present it to our guys.
Well, that's a brilliant point.
Yeah, it's really good. So during the game, he's smart enough to figure it all out himself. So I would not cloud his, you mm-hmm. know, thinking with, hey, we should do this, we should do that. I just learned he's got it. We're prepared. You know, if we're not prepared, it's on me. I should have went over it before the game started. I think that's good as assistant.
I've worked on college staffs, Greg, where all of a sudden, and I was new to the staff, and all of a sudden the game's going on and a player on the team gets one foul. And one of the guys that's not even really on the court coach yells, "Get him out! Get him out!" And I'm like, "Get him out! What do you mean, get him out? He's got one foul, you know." That was his philosophy: get him out, you know. And then same thing: two fouls, get him out, you know, and all.
Right.
Or the better one was, you know, we had when I was at LSU, we had one of the best players in the world, Ben Simmons, and I'll be honest with you. If I was coaching Ben Simmons, his tongue could have been on the floor and I would have taken him out.
Ben
Simmons is like Carson Edwards. Them tired is better than anyone else on your team fresh.
Hey, it's funny you say that too, because this has happened before, and you know this as assistants. You know, some kid out there might be frustrating you or whatever, so you're telling the head coach, hey, get him out of the game, get him out of the game, and you want the kid out, and then all of a sudden, I remember doing it, and Coach Painter goes, who would you like me to put in? And so then I looked down at the bench, and I go, oh, he's got a point. So I had nothing to say. Like, he was right.
I got to – you appreciate this, you know, so I went to the Pistons from the Atlanta Hawks. So I had UB Brown, Mike Fratello, you know, style coaching to now Chuck Daly. Totally, they're really great friends, those guys, but they're totally opposite as coaches. So one of the first games I'm with him, one of my best friends in life, Isaiah Thomas, is playing at home against the Pacers. So he's back in Indiana where he went to college, and he is god-awful. He is awful. Mm. He's throwing the ball all over the gym. And I'm saying to Chuck, you got to get him out. He's killing us, right? You know.
Right.
And so we put in Vinny Johnson. And he makes about seven shots in a row, and I'm feeling good, man. My substitution worked good. Next thing you know, Chuck takes him out. He takes out the guy that made seven straight shots. He puts Isaiah back in. Isaiah comes down. He's throwing the ball all over the gym again. And I said, this is now the third quarter. Every time we put we have someone else in, we're up 14. And Isaiah comes in and goes back to tie game. And so finally, in the fourth quarter, same thing happens. And I said, Chuck, you got to get him out. We're going to lose the game. And he says, you're going to learn something tonight. Just shut up and relax. And I'm like, now my feelings are hurt. And now all of a sudden we win the game. And as we're walking off the court, he said, what'd you learn? Now this is, imagine this, this is big time NBA. I said, what'd you learn?
Right.
I said, that you really don't care what I say. And he said, no, sometimes you might have to lose a game with your best player.
Yeah.
And I said, wow. He said, he's won a lot of games for me. And if he loses one for me, I can handle it.
Right, right.
And he was so right on.
Absolutely.
Now, to this day, Vinny Johnson's pissed off he didn't go back in. But,
of course. That's how they're wired.
Yeah. And so when you are sitting there and you're playing against Tennessee, let's go back to this game in the NCAA tournament. I thought you were involved in two of the most incredible games I've ever seen in college basketball, with the Tennessee and the Virginia game, right?
Yeah, they were big time.
Okay, so
high level.
Yeah, so I mean, like, those games are going, and they're and the ebb and flow of those games, and you're calling plays and stuff like that. Give me your mindset as you're going there.
Yeah, my mindset is really I'm reading the defense. I'm just trying to see, and I have an idea how they're going to defend certain action because I've watched enough film of their defense throughout the year, but it still kind of changes. You have an idea going in what you think can work and what can be good. And then you have to watch and see, okay, is this actually how they're guarding it? Because, you know, with Carson, you can't defend him the same way the whole game. Like, I mean, unless it's hard because we'll find a way, or he'll get going or get loose. So what I was doing was just trying to figure out, you know, where my best option is going to be. And sometimes, you know, when Carson is going or the other team puts so much emphasis on him, you use him as a decoy, you know, and so that's, and if that's working, I'm going to stick with it. I try not to, I try, we've got so many different options. I probably overdo it at times, but I try to, if I run something and we get a really good one, I'm not going to run it again. I'm just going to save it because I know it was pretty open, you know? So I, as I'm doing that game or coaching offense on the game, I really am reading the defense, and that's one. And then two, it's also, okay, who's going on our team? Mm-hmm. Like who's in a good rhythm? Because again, Carson at times, you know, was not in rhythm and taking tough shots. And so you kind of got to get away from that. I'm like Coach Daly, I'm still going back to him, but I want to take a little bit of break from him just to maybe get him to unwind a little, but also to maybe get somebody else going.
Yeah.
And it depends on our personnel. Like, you know, we had the big freshman, Travion Williams. He's a really good low post scorer. So when he comes in, we try to just get some buckets for him just to be able to throw the ball inside. And so it depends on matchups. There's an awful lot that goes in, and you know that, but I just try to stay focused, you know, on exactly how they're defending.
I'm so excited to watch you now because the Southern Conference is, I thought, it was such an incredible conference. They had four teams, maybe almost five teams that were NCAA good enough. Okay.
Right.
And you have scared the daylights, the bejesus, as they say, out of Mike Young. He got the hell out of here. He didn't want to coach against
I don't know about that. I got to talk to him because you know how a lot of we just steal everybody's plays. Yeah. But I put in like a wrinkle with our guys, and literally it's, I don't know, one of these websites, because our video guy sent it to me. It was literally like maybe a week or two later that one of these websites said, oh, look at this play that Mike Young has, great action, blah, blah, blah. And so our video guy sends it to me, and it's our exact play that I just put in like a week before. So it's pretty, I'm going to ask him and say, hey man, did you steal any of my plays?
You know, we had Mike on the podcast after he went 18-0, just in the week in between that and the conference tournament, which they have a great tournament in Nashville, as you know.
Right.
And we were talking philosophy, and I've known him for 25 years. And one of my philosophies that I learned from one of my coaches that I had at our clinics, I looked at a play he ran. It was the exact same play that Chuck and I had run for years. And I said, where'd you get that play? He says, I stole it from you guys. I said, well, I just heard you lecturing on it. And he said, right. He said, Brendan, I gave you credit for it one time. But after that, I own the damn thing. And I said, holy cow.
That's a good one.
So that's what you can do. What are you trying to get done now, right now? Is it part of your, obviously you're putting the staff together, but what are we
trying to do? Yeah, the staff will be here soon, next day or two. And then it's recruiting time right now. So as soon as I get off this phone, I'm heading up to recruit, go to watch a kid and meet with him. Yesterday was the first day to open back up. So it's recruiting right now. And that's a number one priority. We've got a few scholarships and we got to get better. So that's number one priority.
Well, I am a Mercer Bears fan because of you, my friend. So I'm so excited for you and your family, your great family. They're going to really love that. You're a guy that's, you know, spent a lot of time in the South, and I spent a lot of time in Georgia. 2/3 of my life I've spent living in the South. How about that, you know?
Yeah, that's guy, crazy, yeah.
Guy I, from I New Jersey, and I'm here, and you a guy from
I'm
Indiana.
Excited about it, and you know, a quick story beforehand, and this is when I knew it was the spot. Me and my wife, we come here, and we're touring the campus, and then we get to the facility, and walk in the locker room, and as soon as we turn the corner, we see this big sign with the sayings, and it was from the Bible, Romans 12:10, and it says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves.
Wow.
And my wife says, I got chills because last year my wife and my kids all got a tattoo, and it was of Romans 12:10.
My gosh.
And yeah, and she was, I mean, it was like just, it was perfect. So, it was like, this is where we should be.
That's like fate,
and
right?
So, I mean, at that point. It really is. So, we're all excited about it.
No matter if Painter made the call, you're there anyway now. That's, I mean.
Exactly.
That is awesome. Greg, I'm so happy for you, man. And thanks so much for taking time. And I know your schedule is so busy now, but you're one of my favorites. So I wanted to make sure that I
appreciate
that I got
that,
you.
Brent.
And I look forward
thank
to
you so
seeing
much,
you.
And I appreciate our relationship.
So follow my friend at Coach Greg Gary, and you will really be a fan for his. And you might even see one of my plays on his website, you know.
Absolutely.
And you might see, you'll see yours on ours. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate you.
All right. See you, Brent. See you, man.
I'll tell you, this guy can flat out coach. If you get a chance, spend some time. He is a terrific coach and a better guy. So Greg Gary, the new head coach at the Mercer Bears, one of the really neat people in college ball, a hell of a coach, hell of a guy. Follow him closely at Coach Greg Gary. So till next week, this is the coach, Brendan Serr.